Good morning, Pantano. How are we doing today? We enjoying the rain? Monsoon season, isn't it? Well, my name is Nick, and I'm one of the teaching pastors here at Pantano. If you are just joining us today or you're joining online, we're so glad that you're here. We are in the third week of a series we're doing called Trust, in a teaching series called Trust. And Scripture tells us that trust is really the only way to please God. And at the center of our trust is Jesus. But trust is easy to talk about, isn't it? It's extremely hard to practice. Last week, we had 25 people come forward and accept Christ and be baptized. 25. And from June 2017 to June 2018, that year-long period, we had 326 people come forward and place their trust in Christ and be baptized. Trusting Jesus, trusting God can be scary. And that's why many people tell us they wait so long once they feel the initial tug of God to follow through and to come down front and accept Christ. Because we have questions. What if we're wrong? What if God doesn't come through? What if what everyone's told me is a little too good to be true? Now, while these questions are normal to ask, the answer in these questions and the key to unlocking our trust with God is doing life alongside of God. We have to do life with God because it's in these moments that we build trust with God. We build something that I like to call a trust resume. When we do life with God, when we share experiences with God, we begin to build a trust resume. Now, a trust resume is a list of experiences where we have decided to place our trust in Jesus, and God has come through in some way. Now, God might not have come through in the exact way or the exact time that we wanted him to come through, but God did come through in his timing. And I believe that's always for the best. And that's where we grow our trust resume with God, through these experiences. And the longer the resume of trust with God that we have, the easier it becomes over time to begin to trust God with more and more. So I want to do a practical example of this. So sometimes you see this front of the stage here. If you're watching online, you may not see it, but it's a pretty big drop. And I used to be afraid when I started to teach that I would wander around up here and that I would somehow fall off the stage. And I felt that way because in student ministry, I did student ministry for 12 years. One time I did fall off the stage while I was preaching. But today I want to do something called a trust fall. So I need four volunteers. Four volunteers. Okay, to come up here to the front. I've got one. This isn't boding well. All right, two, three, coming from the back. All right, so you guys think we need more than four. You guys are looking at me, looking at how tall this is. All right, now, to do a trust fall, you've got to go to the very back. I'm not going to jump off of this. Let's give these guys a round of applause. This is a big drop. Even walking to the edge gets my heart racing, and my heart's not that strong right now, so we gotta be careful with this. Now, why didn't I jump off the front of the stage? Why didn't I turn around? And the guys are like, we dropped Pastor Nick. It could be a rough time, because that's concrete down there. We don't have padding on the floor. So why didn't I just turn around and fall off and trust that these guys were gonna take care of me? Now, I knew some of them. I know some of them really good, but trust like that comes with relationship, doesn't it? Trust comes with relationships, and relationships come with time. So we have relationship plus trust, or plus time equals trust. Relationship plus time equals trust. So if we had practiced this multiple times and I had them up here at the front, it would have been much easier for me to fall back and my heart wouldn't be racing. I wouldn't be getting a medical alert, you know, on my wrist right now. But it takes time to develop that type of trust. And it's the same thing with our relationship with God. Because when our relationship with God is great and we have a huge resume of trust with God, then it becomes easier to trust God. But if our relationship with God is not so hot and we've not placed a whole lot of trust in God, then when moments come where we have to trust God, it is going to be much more difficult for us to trust God, isn't it? It's going to be much harder to trust God, but we've got to get to know God. We've got to build that relationship, and building the relationship with God takes time. And in that time, we begin to develop trust. Now, unfortunately, life is not just a series of trust falls. Life can be so much harder and way more difficult than we can ever imagine. But it's in these moments, it's in these difficult times that our relationship with God has the most potential to grow. Let me say that again, because sometimes we believe that we grow the closest to God when things are going great. But when things are going great, I think we're more prone to forget God. We're more prone to forget what God's done. We're more prone to set aside the resume of trust, those experiences with God, because it's in the difficult times that we have to come to God. We're forced to come to God because we need Him. That's not the way that it should be, but it's the way that it is. And God uses these difficult experiences in our life to build our relationship with Him, and that's where we have the most potential to grow. I wish I could stand up here and tell everybody that your relationship with God, your trust resume with God, would grow naturally, and that you would never have to work on it. You would never have to do any hard experiences or go through them, because your relationship with God, your trust factor with God, would just go through the roof naturally. But that is not the way life works. Trust comes from experience, and often in the hardest experiences. The New Testament tells us that Abraham is the premier example of having trust in God. In Hebrews 11, it tells us, the author of Hebrews tells us, that Abraham is the premier example of someone in Scripture that has trust in God. So we should pay attention to that, and we should examine Abraham's life and figure out what Abraham did and how he interacted with God so that our trust with God can continue to grow. But how did Abraham get there? How did he become the premier example of having a trust, a deep trust in God? Now, when we first meet Abraham in Scripture, his name was not Abraham. It was Abram. Abram. God hadn't changed his name yet. And his wife, her name was Sarai. Acts 7 tells us that God called Abram the very first time to leave everything he knew, his family, his friends, everything. But instead of doing everything God said for Abram to do, Abraham only pick and chose what he wanted to do. He didn't do everything that God said. He said, all right, I'll do this, and we'll just forget about that, and I'll leave, and I'll set out, and I will follow God. But he brought his family with him. Now, somewhere along this journey, Abraham decided that it was time to stop. And Abram didn't complete the mission that God had given him. And he gets to a place called Haran. Now, you may be saying, Nick, why are we learning about all this backstory of Abram or Abraham? And it's because it's so important, because it's in the story, it's in the experiences that we learn how we can build our own trust relationship with God. But just like Abram, sometimes when we hear God's call, we don't get there all the way the first time, right? Sometimes we pick and choose what we listen to. Sometimes we only go as far as we're comfortable and not as far as God wants to take us. And sometimes God has to tell us twice. So we see Abram in Scripture being told a second time by God, being called by God to leave everything. And we pick up the story this morning in Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis chapter 12, if you don't own a Bible, there's one in the seat back in front of you that you can take with you. We're going to be on page 8. If you're watching online, if you're on our online campus, there's going to be a Bible link at the bottom of the chat screen. If you're on Facebook, you can just open up a new window and go to the Bible. Genesis chapter 12. Now, this is the second time God calls Abram. And this is a truth that we need to remember. Just because we don't get it right the first time doesn't mean that God gives up on us. Because God spoke to Abram again. Even though he messed it up, God called to him. And he said, let's read this together in chapter 12. The Lord had said to Abram, 12 verse 1, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went as the Lord told him. So Abram hears the second call of God and he heads out. Something about hearing it another time did the trick, right? He finally listened and he picked up everything and he left his country, his people, his father's household. Now, Abram didn't know where he was going to go. I know some of us like to plan trips. I just got off of a trip. And some of us like to have a spreadsheet or a to-do list that's itemized so we know exactly what we're doing and where we're going and how we're going to get there. But Abram didn't have this. God said, go to the place that I'll show you. Now, I'm sure Abram would have said, now, where's that place at? And then God said, don't worry about it. I'm going to show you. Just pick up your stuff and get going. Remember, we've talked about this before. Go. So Abraham picks up and he leaves. And then we read a whole lot about Abram's life. Now, this is a huge story in Scripture that goes for many, many chapters in the book of Genesis. And if you've never read the story of Abram or it's been a while, I would encourage you to go back and read the story because there's so many rich experiences that are building Abram's resume of trust with God. But I want to summarize those this morning for us. So we learn during this time where Abram's on the move that God changes his name from Abram to Abraham. Now his wife Sarai, she got a new name. She's called Sarah. Abraham and Sarah. We know that Abraham went to battle many times. And Abraham was significantly outnumbered in these battles. But God said, I want you to go and I want you to do this. And every single time, regardless of how many people were going against Abraham and how outnumbered he was, he emerged victorious because God was at his side. This is part of Abraham's trust resume with God. We also read that Sarah, Abraham's wife, couldn't have kids. She was barren. Then God came to them one day and spoke to them, and they promised Abraham, God promised Abraham and Sarah a child at the ripe old age of 75. Can you imagine starting over at 75? Anybody in here? Don't raise your hand. 75 years old. And after that promise, after God came to Abraham and Sarah and said, at 75 years old, I know that you've been wanting a child and that you've been unable to have a child, but I promise as your God, as your Lord, that you will have a child. After that promise, guess how long it took Sarah to get pregnant? 25 years. 25 years until the son God promised was born. Now let's do some math here. 75 plus 25. Abraham is now 100 years old. I mean, can you imagine wanting a child your entire life? seeing everyone else having children, wanting to grow your family, being told by God that he is going to make a great nation through you, and you have left everything and you have followed God, but you're like, God, how are you going to make a great nation through me because we don't have any children, but yet you're still following God. And then God appears one day and says, guess what? You will have a child, and I'm going to promise you that you will have a child. And then you wait for 25 years. 25 years. Now, I don't know if you're like me. I bet Abraham and Sarah thought that the next month they were going to get pregnant. I bet they were thinking, man, God promised this, it's going to happen. Sometimes when God promises something to us or shows us a way, we think it's going to happen immediately, don't we? And we get a little impatient. Can you imagine waiting 25 years? That's a whole lot of time for the husband and wife to sit there and go, now, did you hear God correctly? I'm not for sure anymore if I heard God correctly. 25 years. That's a lot of time to question if you misheard God speak. That sounds an awful lot like a mountain to overcome. Sometimes mountains come in front of us and we can't see through them. And we begin to worry that we misheard God speak just because we got a little bit of an obstacle in front of us. When it didn't happen as quick as Abraham thought, I bet he looked at that mountain and said, how are we going to get through this? And the journey to the top of that mountain where God was at waiting with that promised son took 25 years. And it's in this that we find our main point for today. We never climb the mountain of trust alone. God is always with us. If we've got a mountain in front of us and we can't see past it, but we know God has spoke to us and God has given us a promise and God is providing a way, when we take our steps and we begin to climb up that mountain, we are not doing it alone because God is always with us. So let's recap Abraham's life. He gets two calls from God. He sets out on a journey. He didn't make it all the way the first time. If you fail sometimes, first time, if you fail all the time, there's hope. God called him again. He set out again. He fought in all sorts of battles and had all sorts of experiences. God was with him in all these moments. Then God promises him a child, but it took 25 years for that to be answered. Now, after all these times and all these trust-building opportunities, we find Abraham in Genesis chapter 22. Turn with me there, page 14. Genesis chapter 22, page 14. These are easy to find because they're at the beginning of the Bible. Genesis chapter 22. Let's start there at verse 1. Sometime later, we don't know how long, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Now let's just think about that for a moment. God speaks to Abraham after a period of time. Abraham's probably thinking everything's amazing and wonderful. He set out on this journey. He's going to this new place. He's got a son that God has provided him. He's getting to know his son. He's over 100 years old and running around and playing and teaching and doing all these things. And then God says, Abraham. And Abraham says, here I am. Abraham knew God's voice. He already had a relationship with God. And it was easy for Abraham to say, here I am. Because he had built a trust resume with God. He knew that God was on his side and that God was with him. The battles. The calls of God. Time and time again, God had spoken to him by himself or through angels. So when God speaks to Abraham, when Abraham says, here I am, Abraham responds with familiarity. He knew God's voice. Let's keep reading. Then God said to Abraham, take your son, your only son, the one I promised you, remember? Whom you love, named Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and he loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac, and when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. Abraham, God says, Abraham, here I am. Remember that son I promised you for 25 years? Now you've had some years with him, you've got to know him. You've got to love him even more. I want you to take that son, and I want you to climb up a mountain. I want you to go to this mountain, and I want you to sacrifice your son that I promised, that you've waited so long for. I want you to sacrifice him as a burnt offering for me. And if we're not getting the picture here, sacrifice actually means to kill. He wanted him to slit his throat and then to burn him as an offering to God. Did you catch that it says, early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey, and he set out for the place that God had told him about? How on earth could Abraham have responded so quickly to God's voice and God's command? Here I am. How could he have done this? 25 years, he's now over 100 years old. He's been living life with Isaac. And then God tells him to give him up, to sacrifice him. How can Abraham just up and accept that? I think this is another sign of Abraham's relationship with God. Abraham knew God. He had a history with God. Now, even though it didn't make sense this time, that what God was saying didn't make sense to Abraham, he chose to trust God. And when it doesn't make sense to us, what God is asking, we have to choose to trust God. Abraham was able to do this because he had built a trust resume, a series of experiences where he knew that God was coming through. So Abraham loads up Isaac and he gets ready to leave. I bet Abraham is probably thinking to himself, we don't know for sure, but I bet Abraham was probably thinking to himself, God surely has another plan. Something's got to happen. Why would God promise me this son? Let me get to know him. Why would God be so good to me? And Sarah, just to take it away. Something's got to happen. God's got to have another plan. You know what would have been easy for Abraham to do? It'd have been easy for Abraham to run away. It would have been easy for Abraham to pretend like he didn't hear God's voice. It'd been easy for Abraham to say, oh God, there's some static and I don't know if you were saying that correctly. I'll pray about it some more. Not for sure if this is what you want me to do. It'd been easy for Abraham just to ignore the voice of God and to carry on with his life. But Abraham didn't ignore God. He listened. And even though it didn't make sense, Abraham is now climbing the mountain that is in front of him, the mountain that God has called him to climb. We never climb the mountain of trust alone. God is always with us. This didn't make sense to Abraham. But because he had trusted God so many times before, he was ready to trust him now. So whatever you're going through in these moments, right now, I want you to know this. You are not alone. Whatever is mountain is before you that seems that you can't get over it, that it is so big, you are not alone. God is in the process of building your trust. You're going to feel the temptation to run away. You're going to feel the temptation just to ignore God or try to pray more about it. You're going to feel the temptation to get angry that God hasn't removed this barrier. But just because it doesn't make sense to you doesn't mean that God is not present in the situation and that God is not using that situation, that God is not using this mountain in front of you to build your trust in him. We can't leave out this important truth, though. If God is like a stranger to you, it's going to be awful hard to trust God at all. So we have to spend time with God. We have to get to know God. Trust grows in relationship. The good news of Jesus is that it's never too late to start or to restart. I want to keep reading this story because it's here that we see this trust resume that Abraham's been building with God come into play. It says, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. And as the two of them went on up this mountain, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father? Abraham replied, Yes, my son. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac says, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. Can you imagine this? Your son is carrying the wood that he's going to be burnt alive on. You're carrying the knife, the fire. Somewhere along up the mountain, Isaac says to his father, Daddy, where's the sacrifice for the offering? Can you imagine that? And Abraham says, God himself will provide. God's going to provide a way. Now, we don't know if Abraham said this in full confidence or if he was speaking truth to himself to give himself the encouragement to take the next step that was coming going up that mountain. But he said it, and it's recorded for us today. And sometimes we just need to remind ourselves that Jesus is faithful in the midst of our storms, and remember that he does not leave us. God will provide the way. Hebrews 11 tells us that Abraham was even thinking that if he did end up having to sacrifice his son Isaac, that God would provide a way out of that. And that he believed that God could raise Isaac from the dead. Now, he didn't know what would happen. Abraham didn't know what was going to happen. But he trusted God. But the story isn't over here. Let's keep going. It says in verse 9, when they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac. Isaac knows what's going on now. He bound his son Isaac and he laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand. He took that knife to slay his son. But then the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. What does Abraham say? Same thing he said at the beginning. Here I am. Don't lay a hand on that boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now that I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and he took the ram and he sacrificed it as the burnt offering instead of his son. Now, can you imagine the tension here? He's got to the place that God wants him to go. He's building the altar. Isaac is probably helping him. He's getting everything together. And then the story shifts and he begins to tie Isaac up. And then he places Isaac on top of the altar. And then he gets out his knife. I think in my mind, he holds up his knife. And he's thinking through. Can you imagine Isaac's eyes to his father? Can you imagine Abraham's eyes to a son? And he gets ready to go, and God says through the angel, don't lay a hand on that boy. Stop. And then Abraham looks off in the distance, and he sees a ram. God provided a way. He provided a sacrifice. Now, as we sit here and think about this today, as we read this, it might seem unnecessary. Why would God, after all this time with Abraham and Sarah, why would God put Abraham through all of these things? First, I think we got to realize this. God isn't calling us to sacrifice our kids. This was a special test meant just for Abraham. God wanted to build a nation through Abraham, and he needed to know that Abraham trusted him and that his trust was not stagnant, but that it was growing in him. If he was going to build a nation, if he was going to bless all peoples through Abraham, he needed to know that Abraham trusted in who God was. God isn't calling us to sacrifice our own Isaacs, but he is calling us to trust him. Trust him with our job hunt. Trust him with the situation at work that's not fair. He's calling us to trust him in the relationship that is currently tough. He's calling us to trust him when we've got to say goodbye to unhealthy people in our lives. He is calling us to trust in him. And the most important thing he's calling us to trust in him about is in Jesus. God has paved the way for us to be saved from our sin. But we must place our trust in Jesus. And who he says he is, that he's God's son sent for us. Now all of these things happening to Abraham, all of the situations in our life that God is calling us to trust him about, sometimes they appear as mountains before us. And just like Abraham, we have to climb up that mountain. God is calling us to climb up these mountains of trust. We can't go around them. We can't dig through them. We have to go over them. But in our steps, we can't forget that we never climb the mountain of trust alone. God is always with us. God is calling all of us to climb a mountain. He asked me to trust him every step of the way. He asked you to trust him every step of the way. He never leaves us, and he's asking us to trust in that as well. So how do we build trust with God? By doing life or going on a journey with God. Experiences or mountains, whatever you want to call them, they will come. A mountain will appear in our lives. And they may not make sense, but we have to climb them. We have to go over that mountain. We have to climb them. We have to take the steps up that mountain in order for our trust to be built. Now, the mountain may take much longer to climb than you thought it would. It may take 25 years. I hope it doesn't. But believe me, God is not only at the summit of that mountain, at the top of that mountain, waiting for us. He is walking alongside us every single step of the way. We are never alone in the journey. God could snap his finger and make it all work out. He could spare us the journey. Sometimes we pray that, don't we? God, please take this away. Please don't make me experience this. God could surely snap his fingers and make it happen. But it's in the journey that our trust resume is built with Jesus. The journey is important. Going up that mountain is important. Now for me, I'm heading into a new trust journey. My trek now is a new health scare. Some of you may have watched a video that I was told was way too long and rambling on my personal Facebook page. If you didn't, let me tell you about it. You got 13 minutes? No, just joking. In this video, I shared that one of my heart valves, my pulmonary valve, is no longer really functioning at all. About a year and a half ago, I was very sick on vacation, and my body went into shock, and my organs started to shut down, and I almost died in California while on vacation with my family. And it's taken about a year and a half, for my heart to heal and for my doctors to ascertain what is going on and the damage that having my illness caused. And they got back with me a couple weeks ago, and they shared with me that my pulmonary valve virtually has no function at all. That my heart is just trying to stay alive. On August 10th, I'll check into the hospital, and I will have my pulmonary valve replaced for the third time. But here's the deal. God has already been on the other side of that surgery. And he knows exactly what will happen. He's called those nurses, he's called those doctors to be in that room for that surgery at that specific time. Is it scary? Heck yes it is, but this is my mountain in front of me, and I have to climb it, and you guys have your own mountains in front of you. But I trust that God is already at the top of my mountain waiting for me. And I know that God is walking alongside of me because God has built a resume of trust with me. I have trusted God and he has come through, not in the ways that I wanted him to all the time, but God has always come through, and I do not climb this mountain of trust alone because God is always with me. He's standing here with me right now as I teach. And he's going to take every step up into August 10th with me into that operating room. So whatever happens, be it a boring surgery that changes my life for the better, or that I meet Jesus that day in person, God is right beside of me the entire time. How can I say this? Is it because I'm a pastor? No. I wish being a pastor had magical privileges like that, but it doesn't. It doesn't shelter me from fear and hard circumstances. How can I trust God? It's because God has proven time and time again how trustworthy he is. He always works everything out for the best. Not always how I wanted it, but he always works it out for the best. God is faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful in my mountain, and he's faithful in your mountain. So what's your story today? Where's your mountain at? What's your next step that you need to take to head on up that mountain of trust? What do you need to do to stop running away from your circumstances so that God can use your circumstances to build your trust in him? Today, I want each of us to take that next step up the mountain. For some, that's to come down front and pray with one of our prayer partners after service. For others, it's to meet me in Starting Point, and our team in Starting Point, which is through those doors and has a giant number one on it. Still others, it's to get up, to go to work tomorrow, and to face a situation that you've been avoiding. Whatever it is, whatever mountain you have to climb, we have to climb it. This I know for sure. God did not leave Abraham behind. Abraham did not have to climb up that mountain alone. And we don't have to climb up our mountains alone. Today we're going to sing a song to God. And I want us to use this song as a prayer to God. It is our commitment to trust in God and who he is. Now, we might not be where we need to be when we sing these words, but I promise the Holy Spirit will get us there. Because this song is a declaration of God's faithfulness and God's goodness. It is a powerful song. I love these lyrics. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. I know the night won't last. Your word will come to pass. My heart will sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise again. God is faithful. Let me pray for boldness in our journey up the mountain together. God, will you help us to have strength where we have none? Will you help us to have courage where we're afraid? Will you help us to have guts to listen to your words, to obey when we just want to pretend like you didn't say anything at all? God, each of us face a mountain, but God, you are at the top of every single one of our mountains waiting for us. And not only are you at the top, you are walking alongside us every single step along the way. And so God, help us not to rely on our own strength and our own power. Help us to rely on who you are and your faithfulness, God, because you didn't leave Abraham behind. And the Bible says you're the same yesterday as you are today, as you are tomorrow. So if you didn't leave him behind and everyone else in the Bible, you're surely not going to leave us behind. So God, help us as we build our resume of trust. So trusting ultimately becomes easier. God, help us to trust that you are who you say you are, and that there's power in your name, Jesus. Amen.